Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
It's good to be with you this evening. What are you doing? Don't do that. Don't shake your stuff at me.
I'm dancing.
I'm trying to open the show.
I'm dancing to that sweet opening music.
I can't take that kind of stuff. All right, that's unfortunate. Here's what we're going on the show tonight. So last week, if you remember, we were talking about the what is it? The New York Times 27
traits of the modern man.
Traits of the modern man, right? And so we were trying to figure out then what is how does the New York Times modern man look in comparison to the urban gentleman? The Life in the Path urban gentleman.
He wasn't looking good. But.
No, it wasn't quite close. So we're going to try to hit up the rest of those and see if we, well, maybe not the rest. I don't. There's a lot of them on there.
I was going to say, maybe a couple more.
Now, so, Andrew, though, it sounds like this has been going around, and there's some legit folks who have been watching commenting on such a thing, right? Did you say, Andrew, what did you say, Mike Rowe attacked this particular list?
Mike Rowe, somebody... From, I don't know, there was like a Facebook thing and someone was like, hey, Mike Rowe, check this out. And Mike Rowe was all like, well, okay, but here's my list of 27 things that manly men do.
Shoot, I feel like we can't compete with Mike Rowe. But then again, he's not after to define an urban gentleman. So,
no.
So, okay.
He's wrong on the verbiage.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Also, we had some Pope-style advice. So we'll see if that shakes out or not. I don't know if that's going to work or not. But then we'll get some advice on Dear Life from the Path. And we'll handle your phone calls and emails. Now, that's kind of a joke, because there's no way to call in here, and nobody emails the show.
Hey, man, they can call our numbers.
We'd either call you on your personal line,
hey,
and then we can, on the radio, listen to half the conversation.
I'll put it on speaker.
No, that's great. No, I am pretty. No, that's what, yes, thank you.
Hey, I also noticed how great I look today.
all right, so let's see if we can get, pick up where we left off. We're talking about modern man only buys a certain type of soda, modern man uses the proper names for things. Modern man hasn't pinned a tweet. Okay, here we go. Number 12. The modern man checks the status of his Irish spring bar before jumping in for a wash. Too small, it gets swapped out.
What's an Irish spring bar?
What? It's a soap.
It's soap.
Oh, okay. Well, I use the liquid stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I used bar soap. No, I used body wash.
Why?
I just as in years now, I've never once bought bar soap.
You use a loofah? Like a man loofah?
I do.
You shake your head, you also use a man loofah? Andrew Carson?
No,
you go at it straight, like hand style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Urban gentleman is not afraid to admit that he uses
now,
a loofah.
Hold on a second. Man's body wash, though, I feel like it tends to come in dark bottles, because that's what man would buy, and then you can't really tell whether it's got stuff in it or not.
No, mine's a clear bottle.
Okay. Do you buy ladies' wash?
No, I buy men's wash.
Okay. I gauge mine by weight. It's like it kind of felt about 5 pounds, and now it kind of feels like 1 pound, so I better go buy more.
Oh, man. I don't know. I checked. I prefer bar soap.
Really?
Yeah. I prefer bar soap.
Is there any reason you prefer bar soap, or is that just what you've always used?
Nah, the man's body wash makes me feel slimy.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you washing it off after you... Use it?
No, I don't even turn on the water. I just go soap on myself.
That's probably the situation, Ben. You can't just grab the bar and slap it against your cheek and just start going at it.
No,
it's not how it works, man.
I don't know. I think, if you have to either ask the broad question, is the urban gentleman cognizant about what is going on in his shower before he gets in?
Yes.
I would say opposite. I don't check that stuff. I check it when I get in there after I'm in the shower, and I'm like, oh, darn.
I know exactly how much I have of the body wash and shampoo and stuff I use.
I don't think that's an urban gentleman. I think that's weird.
Here's the statement. The urban gentleman can be comfortable with his bathroom decisions. That's the urban gentleman.
Yeah, but like... I mean,
it doesn't have to make one decision versus another to not be an urban gentleman.
No, I just
think the urban gentleman just makes his decisions consciously.
Yeah, but
he knows what he's up to.
Me and Andrew don't, apparently.
Well,
I don't get in the shower.
What I'm saying is, you guys' decision is, I get in the shower and then I know what's up there. Mine is, I know what's up before I get in the shower. Neither is the urban gentleman.
That makes the urban gentleman completely indistinct. Because it's to say, as long as he makes a decision, which everything is a decision, then he's an urban gentleman. That's stupid.
I feel like I'm comfortable making that decision if it's about bathroom stuff.
No.
Because I'm not really worried about like the etiquette in the restroom having to do with what's actually making an urban gentleman.
I think you overdo it. All right. We're gonna have to agree to disagree on that.
Agree to disagree,
Ben. I
think
Ben. You're not. Anybody stands out in his wild blue yonder looking for, see if how much stuff is in the bottle before he gets into the shower. I don't know about
the
that.
The wild blue yonder. How big of a bathroom do you have?
No, that was
mine is a small size.
Sorry, that was my innuendo for male nudity.
Oh. Oh man, that made it weird.
You asked. Here we go. Number 13. The modern man listens to Wu-Tang at least once a week.
I don't know what to say to that. That's ridiculous.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's... The urban gentleman doesn't have to listen.
The urban gentleman doesn't listen to whatever he doesn't want to listen to.
You're right. Now, he's not beholden to Wu-Tang, I'll tell you that.
Oh, you're willing to make sure that it's not that big of a decision here. We don't have to make it distinct.
No,
on
I'm
music.
Saying he's not beholden to Wu-Tang. That is distinct.
What is the urban gentleman, then?
I don't know that he has to listen to a specific thing during the week.
But he has to have specific bathroom things?
Yeah. He what? Has to decide whether he's going in there or not.
Double standards.
No. No, there's one thing is, are you held hostage by your music selection? The second was, do you creep into your own shower and wave the bottle?
Hey, man, I don't snidely whiplash my way into the restroom, just sitting there twirling my mustache and going, man, how much body wash do I have?
I would get in there and whip Nene myself all the way into the shower.
Whip Nene.
Check the bottle.
You have made yourself so culturally irrelevant by saying whip Nene.
There we go. No, I think the urban gentleman is not beholden to the Wu-Tang.
Fair enough.
All right. Modern man still jots down his grocery list on a piece of scratch paper. The market is no place for his face to be buried in the phone. Do you make a list for the store?
No.
I used to.
I just show up and go, hey, that sounds good.
I'll have some of that.
Yeah. That looks delicious and somewhat cost effective. I'll take it.
Hmm. Carson?
I used to, but now I use that, like, the Hy-Vee Isles Online thing. You know, the online delivery service.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they have you, like, type in your little card number that they give you.
Yeah.
And it remembers your purchases from week to week. And I eat basically the exact same stuff every week. And so it's like, okay, buy the same stuff, pay the same money.
You used to be like, I have the usual, Chuck. And yeah. They bring it by.
There's not enough wiggle room. I need a guy to strap on a selfie stick and then walk around. And then say, hey, stop, stop.
Is that rigatoni?
To your left. To your left. That looks good. Grab a couple of those. Hey, man, I'm actually going to offer that.
Hold on, I'm
going to get a webcam, strap it to my forehead, and then I'm going to walk around the Hy-Vee for people. And then they can tell me to stop whenever they want to.
Yeah, that's a legitimately bad idea. Let's see.
Body wash.
I've done both. I try to use my Evernote for a grocery list. Here's the problem with it is you can't cross things off easily.
Ooh.
Like trying to digitally cross things off is a bit of a pain. And so I like the satisfaction of having crossed something
right?
off the list.
It's like a physical stimuli to shoo.
Yeah, I conquered that list item. That broccoli is done for me.
I got those eggs. Those eggs have been gotten.
Here's the deal. I think I can agree to this to a certain extent. The urban gentleman. Maybe I'll broaden it, though. Urban gentleman is not averse to a good old pen and paper for doing
That's fair.
Things.
That's
matter
fair.
Of fact, I was what I found was when I'm doing sermon prep, it almost always is beneficial if I write stuff out before I go trying to type an outline. So, yeah, all right, I can get on board with that. Number 15, the modern man has hardwood flooring. His children can detect his mood from the stamp of his Kenneth Cole Oxfords.
What?
Sure.
Carson's in. Says, no, is it legit hardwood or, like, can you get a faux laminate?
I
feel like if we're going that far, no way. No faux laminate.
I don't make this kind of
decisions. I have faux laminate. I'm not more of a modern man because of it.
Urban gentleman?
No, not because of my laminate, but definitely because of my body wash.
I don't know about this. I don't think the modern man has hardwood floor. That says the urban gentleman can't live anywhere that there is not hardwood floor.
You saying you can't get down on some good carpet?
Yeah, I think that's overly exclusive. I don't think that's necessary. Number 16, the modern man lies on the side of the bed closer to the door. If an intruder gets in, he will try to fight him off so that his wife has a chance to get away.
Man, I like that. I do. I like to sit close to the door thing. I don't know why. That's just kind of how I was raised, was that kind of deal.
Hold on.
It's the same concept as sitting on the... When you're walking a lady down the street, you should be closer to the street.
Okay, so actually, I do that. But what is the thought process on the bed?
If someone breaks in, you're the closest person to the bed or to the door so you can take care of it.
Like, give me the situation when that's going to be helpful.
So, you're in a Motel 6, all right?
Yeah, and that sounds legit.
There's... You took the lady on a vacation, right? You decided to go out for the anniversary.
Okay.
And you sleep closest to the door, so if there's ever an intruder, in the situation. You're closest to them, so they can't get to your wife without you knowing. And you are the one who protects the situation.
Right, and the guy jumps in with some sort of weapon, and he actually overthrows both of us, and I think to myself, at least I knew before she did.
At least I had the chance to save her first, and I was
failed.
I was between her and the intruder, saving her from harm.
Yeah,
I might be optimistic.
First off,
well, so is I'm going to get hit by the car too.
No, no, it's ridiculous. There's a little bit of man bigotry in that type of thing.
I'm not trying to say I'm better than the lady, but like, unless I'm dating like a 9 foot tall Swedish woman named Olga, the chances of one of us being able to overpower the intruder or the other, I think I got a chance.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I just don't know that those extra few inches on that side of the bed. First of all, my guess is that your average dude is sleeping through a little bit more than your average woman. And so you might be the first guy in the way of somebody coming in the door, but you ain't going to hear it. The woman's going to have to wake you up.
Not when you're constantly on the alert of your woman's safety, like the superhero of a boyfriend that I am.
I sleep with one eye open in case.
I sleep at all times thinking of my woman's safety.
Just in case someone comes into my Motel 6, of which I seem to be with my wife at. Some kind of weird situation.
Hey, it was a vacation. Stop making it weird.
Oh, no, you're right. That's excellent. Hey, sweetheart, I really booked a nice Motel 6 for us.
Hey, man.
It's time we got away.
I went extravagant in the trip, not the stay.
It's good.
I'm right.
What God produced
urban gentleman.
We're staying for cheap. I don't know about that.
We're camping.
Maybe I'm just taking this personally because I do not sleep on the side
you
of
are.
The bed closest to the door.
I'm willing to state that you are taking it personally.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
It depends if the location gives me the willies. If I'm in my own house or whatever, I'm like, eh.
That is
not something the urban gentleman says.
You're immediately at a disadvantage.
Why?
What are you going to do? Sit straight up in bed and start kung fu chopping?
What is it that is going to go on? Here's the deal. In the way that I sleep, I guarantee if I get out of the bed first and the dude sees me or the gal sees me out of the bed, they're no longer intruding.
Here's the deal. Your physical presence aside, are you telling me you like whiz bang out of bed? You hear a noise and you're like, and you're ready for action?
Actually, I've done that.
Like every time, one eye open?
Well, like, quick story. I bought a new alarm clock last year, okay? And I did not think to test it out before I put it on the first time. And so it's like an old style, like, dinner bell alarm clock, right? And so this thing went off the first morning I ever had it. It scared the willies out of me. I had no idea what I was expecting. I had no idea what to know it was. And I couldn't figure it out for about 15 seconds. I screamed out of bed. Like, I got jumped full tilt, 4 feet off the bed out, looked at my alarm clock, almost attacked it, and then realized it was just my new alarm clock and thought to myself, I really should have listened to that sound last night so I knew what I was thinking of.
Dude, that is pretty weird. Like, I always test an alarm clock out.
Right?
See what's
I don't know
happen.
Why I just trusted it.
Things are going to be
I saw the clock was moving. I'm like, there's no way this is going to fail me. And then it scared the willies out of me the next morning. All right.
Here we go. Does the modern man have a melon baller? What do you think?
What?
Wait, is that how the article?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's more to it. Does the modern man have a melon baller? What do you think? How else would the cantaloupe, watermelon, and honeydew he serves be so uniformly shaped?
No. Urban gentleman does not have a melon baller.
Now, hold on a second. Now, if you're going to commit to producing something out of your fruit, why wouldn't you pick up a decent tool to give it the old, heave-ho?
Because I feel like I don't want melon in small little spheres. If I'm going to eat melon, I want, like, a slice of melon.
I'm sorry, Dr. Selfish. This isn't about you. What if someone comes to your place and wants a nice melon ball?
If they know me, they shouldn't expect a melon ball.
I'm sorry. Sorry for expecting. I eat like a Neanderthal, and no, I would
refuse to bend to it. Hey, man, there's nothing Neanderthal about slicing a melon and then handing someone a wedge and saying, here you go.
Except for you end up with a cantaloupe wedge on your face.
Am I making just, like, melons, or am I doing, like, fruit salad? Because if I'm doing fruit salad, I might consider getting a melon baller.
I feel like the urban gentleman's open to both. Here's the thing.
Fine.
Here's the thing. As an urban gentleman, if you're going to get yourself involved in cooking something, you need to do it correctly. You don't phone it in and be like, I'm a dude, so I do it like this. Cook something well. Put some style in it.
Hey, man, stop convicting
me. Melon ball that stuff.
That's truth. All right, I'll deal with that.
All right, urban gentleman does have a Here's the deal. Urban gentleman has a melon baller if he has a if he uses it on a normal basis. I don't have cantaloupe, so I don't have any reason to have a melon baller. But if I did, I would pick one up.
It's out of season anyway.
Stop trying to play yourself off as better for everybody.
I'm the urban gentleman. Number 18. The modern man has thought seriously about buying a shoehorn. False.
Here's the deal. I don't even know what a shoehorn does.
No. I figured they sent that to you when your Social Security kicked in.
That may or may have not have been me asking you guys what a shoe
does. Attached to your shoe, so if you get mad at somebody,
no, yeah, it's. I thought it was so. Really? I thought, I was going to say, I thought the shoehorn helps it so that your shoes don't, like, collapse.
Oh, to keep their shape?
Yeah. Like, you put a shoehorn in the shoe for a while.
I don't own any shoes that would require such a thing.
Okay. Well, then you're not the urban gentleman.
Apparently not. No, I...
Wait. Oh, no, I want to know. What is shoehorn?
Have you thought about buying a shoehorn?
No.
I've never even seen one for sale.
I have no idea where to go buy one. I'm guessing a shoe store, but I've never seen them.
Here's my guess, is all shoehorns were created in 1912. And the same shoehorns have been
by the same cobbler
for like 103 years.
That would make them collector's items, and therefore there should be a shoehorn collector.
But they're not collector's items because nobody wants them. That's why there's enough to satisfy the population, even though they were all made 100 years ago.
The shoehorn collector will have no competition, and therefore they'll be cheap. And they'll be like, check out my shoehorn collection.
The same reason that there's no... that you may say, hey, there's a guy that collects dead skunks. And it doesn't mean that there's price in it just because he's doing it because no one wants it. It's not popular because there's no demand.
You can be like, hey, Iowa, I have the world's largest shoehorn collection, and we should make my house a national treasure.
Hey, man. The sixth thing on Google when you say, what does a shoe, is what does a shoehorn do?
Sweet.
So people really want to know.
Okay, rile it up.
Apparently, you are correct. A shoehorn is how you don a loafer. Don a pair of loafers.
How you get your shoe into the
loafer? Yeah. Well, no, that's how you put your... you put your foot on the shoehorn with your heel up, and then helps to guide your foot in your shoe.
That's what I'm saying.
And then you take the shoehorn out, and apparently it's to help you from collapsing the heels of your shoes.
I need one of those.
Because some people will slip them on, and then their heel will actually crush in the heel of the shoe where it no longer has structural integrity. So, hey, man, I have that problem all the time. I need shoehorns.
So maybe you do need a shoehorn.
All right. Apparently this urban gentleman needs to go look at some shoehorns.
Yeah, I would say I've never contemplated it.
Never once. Nope. I'm thinking about it now.
Go try one out.
I will.
Can you see if you can find one?
I'll see if I can do one. I'll do a review on one if I get my hands a pair of them.
All right. Number 19. The modern man buys fresh flowers more to surprise his wife than to say he is sorry.
Yes. Absolutely. Or buys her something she wants or she would care about. Doesn't have to necessarily be flowers.
Yeah, definitely element of surprise. I agree with that.
Yeah. Something she'd want.
Urban gentleman buys stuff not because he's trying, not as a... evidence of repentance, but just because he's out doing the right thing.
Yeah, right. I was thinking of you, lady. That's all it is. I was thinking of you, and that's it. Yeah. Doesn't have to be flowers, just something she cares about.
Yeah, okay. Mike, when's the last time you bought a gift, like a small little something for your lady friend?
Does the anniversary count?
No, just because.
Sometimes I'll pick up beverages on the way home.
Does that make her know you care about her?
Yeah, it does.
Then that it is. That it is.
If I show up with a 44-ounce Diet Coke, I was thinking about you on a drive home.
That's the urban gentleman.
Yeah.
If a lady loves a Diet Coke, he picks up a Diet Coke.
Hold on. Does it count if I say, babe, I was thinking about you, so I did not buy Reese's Peanut Butter Cups for myself?
No.
No.
Why not?
Because that's still not a tangible thing for her to have.
No, yeah, it is.
Selfish. Almost.
There's less of me to love. Sweet. Which is what you
Sweetheart, I love you, so therefore I kept my diet today.
It's more like a reverse threat, is to say, I was going to eat this thing, but I thought of you, and I thought, no, I love you, and you'll be angry. So I will not eat this piece of peanut butter cup.
No, that is not the modern gentleman. That's not the urban gentleman.
Urban gentleman does a positive thing.
Yeah, urban gentleman buys something or picks up something nice or stops at the side of the road and grabs your flowers. Whatever would make her feel special, just an attempt to make her feel special. That's it. That's all it is.
All right, I think that's Bible. Hey, have you guys ever, Mike, you ever looked for a shoehorn? You ever considered buying a shoehorn?
Hey, do you know what a shoehorn does?
Yeah.
What does it do?
It keeps the shape of your shoe.
No. See, that's what I thought too.
No, a shoehorn is something you put in the back of your shoe so that you can slide your heel in.
Yeah. I said what to that too, but
David,
apparently that's
you
the
own
thing.
A shoehorn?
I have used a shoehorn before, but I do not own one.
Wait, so having used one,
yes.
Do you feel like the urban gentleman should consider buying one?
No.
Okay.
There's
it
no
feels
need
like
for
you need a robot hand to help you get your own shoes on.
It helps with.
I need some kind of apparatus.
With a hard leather dress shoe so that you can slide your heel in.
Without crushing the shoe.
This is the same thing that I give the ladies junk for. It's like, why would you buy something that is. It's uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I buy a hard leather shoe that's hard to get on?
Seems
like a waste of money.
There's only one reason why people ever dress in a way that's uncomfortable, and it's because they think it makes them look good.
Done it.
Or it's because that's their burger uniform. One or the other. You know.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's see. The modern... What?
We're number 20?
The modern man is the little spoon.
What?
Oh.
That is not feasibly possible.
Some nights when he is feeling down or vulnerable, he needs an emotional and physical shield.
What?
Okay.
I mean, there's a way to do that besides offering to be shorter than you actually are. Like, tangibly, most of the time, the dude is taller, Big Spoon wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's weird.
The urban gentleman doesn't discuss this.
There we go, yes.
That's the best one yet. The urban gentleman says, hey, man, you have no reason to know which spoon I am.
Yeah, yeah, all right, here we go. The modern man doesn't scold his daughter when she sneezes while eating an apple donut, even if the pizzas fly everywhere.
That is oddly specific.
That's very specific.
Here's the deal. I would say this is not just a matter of modern man, urban gentleman. What kind of ape yells at his daughter for taking a sneeze at something?
How dare you sneeze during that donut?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Here's the deal. Is I suppose that I've seen parents be like, cover your mouth.
Yeah.
Frankly, I like to sneeze into the inside of my shirt. That way I don't get my hand all dirty.
That is gross.
I like to make
a Mike, that is gross.
Ben?
That is not something the urban gentleman
does. I don't put my hand up there. I just freewheel it out into the atmosphere. Hey, here's the deal.
Hey,
it's like peeing in a pool. It'll be so much other atmosphere around, you're not even going to notice the difference.
Oh, man.
Hang on.
Andrew, I don't feel right about this one.
Andrew, you work in food service. When are you allowed to sneeze? What are you allowed to do?
Well, I usually turn away from my station, sneeze into my elbow, and then go change my gloves.
So into the elbow. Okay.
Into my elbow.
Do you have an elbow glove?
Well, no, but just
your elbow is filthy. You're nasty, man.
Sure. Hey, man, at least it's not the inside of the shirt.
Why? No one ever touches in there.
Yeah, that's a weird way. Like, I feel like I'd feel weird about going, achoo. Those of you watching the podcast right now, like, that's a weird achoo.
I do that all the time.
And people are generally confused by you.
Here's the deal.
Because then you go,
no, I don't do that.
It's against your skin.
If someone is going to be at the downfall of my sneeze, it is responsible for me to take it upon myself. No one should have to suffer my fluids flying throughout the neighborhood.
Yeah, but I feel like the whole, like, shove off, bury in the elbow is the right way to do it.
Then it's still on the outside of your shirt. You might accidentally rub it on somebody later.
I'd agree. I've taken this thing out
of
my hands.
So we've got sneeze into the world, and we've got sneeze into my chest.
Sometimes it gets caught in my chest hairs.
That's what I'm saying. That's disgusting.
All right.
That's the grossest thing I've heard today.
Urban gentleman obviously sneezes out.
Unless it's potato chips.
The urban gentleman carries a handkerchief.
Here we go. The modern man still ambles half. Sorry, we're going through the 27 characteristics of the modern man for the New York Times. See if we agree. We are on 22. The modern man still ambles in the great blue yonder down his driveway each morning to scoop up a crisp newspaper.
What?
Modern man still ambles half nude down his driveway each morning to scoop up a crisp newspaper.
No.
Hey, man, there's no situation where I should be half nude walking around.
I think he's trying to say he still reads the paper. Is that what he's trying to say? Or gets it delivered to his house?
No, I feel like it's the action.
Yeah, he's half nude. He's strolling down into the world because a man needs his reading material.
Okay, print media is dead. Yeah, that's all I've got to say about that.
Are the funnies only an option? Like, can I just read the comics and then throw the paper away?
Hey, do you think newspapers could make more money if you could order a subscription style like TV? Like, look, just bring me the sports section and the funnies. I don't want that other stuff.
Save a lot.
You can keep the business section. I don't want it. People get, if you gave people the illusion of choice, you're getting less paper for the same money.
Yeah.
You just don't have to rifle through the business section, which you hate, and the realtor ads.
I guarantee you people would pay for that convenience.
Yep.
People would definitely pay for that convenience.
The irony is that I think the companies would actually have a harder time doing that just because of all the sorting involved and the people that would have to separate those things out.
But they were literally selling it for the same price, so they could just take the sections out and recycle what was left.
Yeah, they still have to write the stuff. Like, mm-hmm. You probably haven't made things a little easier on them. You made it harder.
Yeah. They save on paper, but they still have to pay for the technology, the machines, or the people to have to sort that stuff out.
I feel like email really sorts this thing out, and the internet has won this particular item. So, no, I would say the urban gentleman is not necessary that he ambles half Rodan style down his driveway over a newspaper. That don't sound right to me.
The half Rodan.
23. The modern man has all of Michael Mann's films on Blu-ray, or whatever the highest quality thing is at the time.
I'm not certain who that is.
I am also uncertain, Ben.
Michael Mann? Man?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, who's Michael Mann?
Name a Michael Mann film.
I can't name Michael Mann.
Is it two N's? Should I put the Google on it?
Yeah, it's two N's.
See what Google has to say, because Google already answered one of our questions.
Oh.
Google straightened out that shoehorn.
Yeah, we were all kind of confused about the shoehorn situation. Ben got it straightened out before we knew it, though.
I know a shoehorn.
Hold on, Michael.
I'm going to go buy one.
Did he do Sherlock with Robert Downey Jr.?
Okay, he did a film recently called Black Hat. In 2015, and then Heat, Public Enemies, Collateral, The Insider, Miami Vice, Manhunter.
Oh. So he's a director.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case.
I've never heard of any of these films.
Yeah, The Insider was the one with Russell Crowe when he was the Bring It On.
Miami Vice was
Wygant. That was pretty good.
Colin
Farrell and Jamie Foxx.
Oh, he also did Last of the Mohicans.
Okay, that was a while back.
The Aviator, mm-hmm. Ali,
Leo DiCaprio,
Hancock. Okay, he's done some stuff.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I don't think the Urban Gentleman needs to own all of them on Blu-ray.
No.
Uh-huh.
He also did a film in 2003 entitled Bad Profanity with like five S's.
Oh.
So.
That seems like a rough time.
Yeah. Maybe not Michael Mann, but there's no reason that someone can't have like a collection of whatever they enjoy.
Yeah.
And like I just recently finished the, the Jurassic Park thing. I bought the Jurassic World. I was like, it's complete again.
So, Modern Man, the Urban Gentleman, is willing to take a liking to something. Sure. It doesn't necessarily have to stick to some cultural norm.
Yeah. I could throw it out on the pop fiction, Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Are they just picking Michael Mann because he's a little bit action but a little bit of culture? Is that what's going on?
Is it to imply something about who the Modern Man is?
Okay.
Okay, so Urban Gentleman Maybe. Watches Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Sure.
Awesome.
Hey, Urban Gentleman will stream things. I mean, I feel like I'd be foolish to purchase a hard copy.
Yeah.
I got to have that hard copy. Why? It's not in my hands. It's not worth it.
Why?
Because then I can be like, hey, check out my shelf.
Check out my shelf.
Check out my shelf. It's got the full art cover thing of the guy.
Yeah. No, I'm not on board
like,
with that. Get a poster.
But I can't watch a poster.
No, you can watch the stream of the movie with the poster up at the same time.
People know that you enjoy that thing.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number 24. Okay, man,
how many are there, Ben?
27.
There's 27.
Okay, I'm ready. Go ahead.
24. The modern man doesn't get hung up on his phone's battery percentage. If it needs to run flat, so be it.
Ooh.
Yes, but he's also prepared to charge it if he needs to.
What? That sounds like not a modern man that would say something like that.
No, he's conscious of the fact that sometimes people need to get a hold of him. And therefore, if it dies, he's got a way to charge it.
In Boova's version of the Urban Gentleman, he feels very, very self-righteous and important and assumes people are trying to get a hold of him. And so he has to charge.
I didn't say I assumed that was the situation. I just like to be available just in case somebody needs
help. Now, here's the deal. I will rephrase this. The modern man does not drain his battery percentage playing World of Warcraft.
Angry Birds.
And Angry Birds. You used to leave your phone charged up ready for calls.
Yeah.
If you look at your... Here's the deal. If you look at your phone at the end of a month and you have more text messages than phone minutes... You, sir, are not the Urban Gentleman. You talk. You have conversations with people. You also got to watch your data usage on, say, doing stupid stuff like playing games on the internet. I'm not against a casual game here and there, but I feel like if you're going to do some meaningful stuff in life, you do it with people and not playing games.
Hold on a second. What's the problem with the text message?
No, I feel like that's not personal.
Why?
Now, hold on. Unless your text messages are mostly to your wife, I think that's fine.
Hold on a second. How is that different than writing a letter?
What do you mean?
That's like saying letters are impersonal.
Yeah, I agree.
What?
Before the telephone was invented, people never knew anybody.
They knew people better who they talked to.
John and Abigail.
Otherwise, they'd have just talked to them instead.
Forget pen pals in the 90s. Yes.
Yeah.
People who don't use parchment and quill, they're just phoning it in.
I agree with Dave.
Stop using technology.
Finally, someone who sees the light.
I don't think so, James, brother of Jesus. You'll call me, or I won't listen to this.
Hey, he spoke the good news from the rooftops and wrote it down. He did both things.
He didn't use the phone?
That's right, he didn't use the phone. Like I said.
You said use the phone.
You said use the phone.
Well, the phone is now available. James would certainly use the phone nowadays.
You think he would call everyone in the churches?
No, he'd visit.
See?
He would drive over, he'd have a face-to-face.
Here's the deal. I really dig on that. I'm not much for the phone. I would much rather go meet somebody and be where they're physically at.
Then why were you defending the text message?
Because I also like the text message. It's the phone that
Hold on. You can't not define the Urban Gentleman by what Ben does.
Yeah, okay.
That's kind of what all of us have been doing since the Urban Gentleman.
Here's what I do. This is obviously the Urban Gentleman.
No, he's debonair.
He sneezes out in the open, Ben.
Here's what I like. I think Mike's answer is the right one, though. If the urban gentleman is concerned that people need to get a hold of him, he doesn't jack his minutes by or his phone usage, battery use time, by doing stupid things with it.
Agreed.
So you don't need to charge again. You just are prudent with your phone usage so that if people want to get a hold of you, they can.
Hold on. Does the urban gentleman keep pictures of himself on his own phone?
No. Well, not inadvertently. If he's taking a picture.
No, just by himself.
What if the urban gentleman is dating and sometimes likes to have a good picture in case someone asks?
Like, hey, it's nice to meet you. Can I see a picture of you on your phone?
No.
Say,
I'm
right here live, babe.
More along the lines of, hey, you should send me a picture so I can see you.
No, that's not urban gentleman living.
And I go, all right. let me peruse the archives.
Urban gentleman has no selfie. No.
No, that's not true.
You know, here's the deal.
We are talking about the urban gentleman, not the gentleman that you guys want to be.
No, I agree. The urban gentleman does not have options on his phone.
No.
Let me look through and get you the best one.
The urban gentleman knows how to take a true selfie.
No.
The urban gentleman could take a classy selfie without being a schmuck about it.
If you want to impress a lady, you send her a picture of yourself and a little kid that you hang out with.
I have that.
Yeah, send him that picture. Like,
I do.
Here's me and a kid, or here's me and somebody else of us having a good time. Not just me of myself with one eyebrow raised, be like, hello.
Hey, man, you don't make it seem like you know what's up, all right?
You have a picture of yourself in that suit on your phone?
I sent it to my brother, yes, because he wanted to see it.
Yep.
I didn't take it so that it was hey, everybody.
That's not what I asked. I said, do you have a picture of yourself in that suit on your phone?
Yes.
You are not the urban gentleman.
I'm the urban gentleman.
I would agree.
You are the urban
gentleman. The urban gentleman takes pictures with kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if it's unknown kids, it's better than a selfie of
yourself. What if I have a picture of me in the suit with a kid?
That's fine. Then you're not alone.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah.
That's a cute picture.
Yeah. I would agree. Urban gentleman does not have options of himself on the phone.
Nope.
Man, what if I need to determine the feeling of the situation?
You do not.
Like, hey, man, is this like that kind of selfie situation?
No, there's not. No, there are not multiple modes of it.
No.
Yeah. What if you're taking a picture with a pet? Is that all right?
I did that once.
If you own a pet, which you do not.
What if you take a picture with a friend's pet because it's a pug and it's ugly as crazy, and you have to prove how ugly this friggin' pug is?
Then take a picture of the dog, not you and the dog.
Yeah, why does your face have to be
ugly? Because you have to have some point of reference.
Here's a good-looking pug, me, and an ugly pug.
Hey, actual pug. Look at this good-looking dog, and look at that gross pug. That is exactly how that photo went.
How many pictures of yourself do you think
you
have on the phone right now?
Let's be blatantly honest with ourselves. That's probably a couple hundred. I'm not going to lie to you.
You have a couple hundred pictures of your own self on your phone?
Not just like me going, Like in situations. Like I have a picture of me on a plane with a dude behind me because it was funny. And then I have a picture of me at a waterfall. And I have a picture of me.
That's riveting.
Well, like, because the fact that I just walked down a mountain to it, I was pretty excited. I thought to myself, hey, I'd like to see this again. Snap. Like, that's the exact situation that happened.
I have a picture of the waterfall, but not me standing, breathing heavy.
Gentlemen, let's be blatantly honest with ourselves. If I said to you guys, hey, man, I walked down a mountain to a waterfall, people are going to say, no, you didn't.
But you were there to take the picture.
Anybody can take a picture.
If the urban gentleman is that untrustworthy that I can't take you at your word.
The urban gentleman's just a 400-pound dude that probably wouldn't be seen walking down a mountain. Selfie.
No.
All right, question.
No selfies.
Classy selfies, urban gentleman.
Of those 100 or so pictures you've got of yourself, any duck faces?
Absolutely not, no.
Okay.
I don't stoop to that level.
At least I've got a little respect.
Yes, and I'm willing to say that. I will not stoop to duck face. However, I will take a picture of me at a waterfall. Okay. All right, what's the next one?
I'm sorry, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. We've established the urban gentleman takes a good picture of himself. Keep going.
He does not do that.
Just because you buffoons don't know how to take a good picture of yourself does not mean that I should not selfie.
Here's the deal. The modern man can take selfies of himself. The urban gentleman, however, does not.
Urban gentleman knows how to take a selfie.
There we go. 25. The modern man has no use for a gun. He doesn't own one, and he never will.
No. Urban gentleman can have a gun.
I agree. The urban gentleman will certainly have a gun.
Yeah. Urban gentleman says, hey, I want a gun. I'm going to have a gun. I don't want a gun. I won't have a gun.
I don't know if that's a requirement, but I got coyotes at my place. Urban gentleman shoots coyotes.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal.
Urban gentleman's comfortable enough to make decisions.
I think the modern man is presenting a situation of which he's never at odds with the elements, and which would tell me that he's not an urban gentleman.
Right.
An urban gentleman who knows no interaction with the elements of which the concept of a gun at least passes his mind. I'm not saying that that's necessarily the right answer.
Yeah, you don't have to go saying, mountain man.
Has he not been in a situation where you're like, you know, I get why people have weapons. I'm going to pass on it, but I can certainly understand it.
Hey, man, look, I understand if you're not a big fan of weapons or whatever, but I mean, here's the deal. If a coyote's trying to break into your place, or let's change out coyote for another person.
Yeah. Weapon.
Like, I don't know that I would mind flashing iron. Look, you can take a gamble. Maybe I shoot this thing, maybe I don't. But it's in my hands. Your call, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Make your move.
Yeah. Spin the wheel, Padre.
Hey, man. Seriously, I want a machete for that reason.
Yeah.
Skid
it. Like, legit. Like, I want someone to break into my house and then me walk out of my bedroom with a machete.
Yep. Skid that smoke wagon.
That person is never coming back in my house.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like being in the Rodan would benefit.
Though. It's that,
if you came out with exactly, a machete. Right.
You don't
that is exactly, without saying it, that is exactly what I'm saying. In the Great Blue Yonder, yeah. With a machete. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That person does not come back in that house.
A grown booba, completely in the buff with a machete in his hand. Like, wrong house, bro.
No, I wouldn't even say that. I'd be like, want some breakfast? Like, that's creepier.
You know what we're having?
You. Regular dude says, hey, man, you should leave. Creepy booba goes, come on in.
Party's just about to start.
Yeah. I just bought a melon bottle.
Yeah, exactly. If you can answer me this, what's a shoehorn do? We're going to have a real conversation.
Yeah, here's the deal. Urban Gentleman doesn't have, it's not a definite you have to have the weapon, but I don't begrudge anyone from having one.
Yeah, I get it.
It's all a move.
Urban Gentleman makes a choice.
26. The modern man cries. He cries often.
What?
Here's the deal. I'm willing to take the first part, the first sentence.
Just that interaction right there was the greatest part of the show. He cries often. What?
Did you say
fries often?
I was willing to swallow the first part. I mean, dude got to break down every once in a while. An old hymn comes on. You can't take yourself. That's fine. You know, the kids are in bad shape. I understand.
Often seems like it's promising a bit much.
Yeah. I mean, you really got to plan it to do it often? I wouldn't categorize it as often.
It's Tuesday. Cry time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Urban Gentleman cries because it's appropriate. He doesn't cry often or on a schedule or whatever to make sure people know that he's a man.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I get caught doing some blessed assurance or something by myself in the car. I might tear a bit. Depends on who's singing it. Gaither's probably not. Alan Jackson, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Urban Gentleman understands the reason for crying, but doesn't necessarily have to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you got big stuff going on. I'd say burst some tears out. You don't hold it in like some kind of
sturdy oak.
The metaphor I was going to use was not appropriate. You don't hold it in.
Glad you stopped it. Glad you stopped that situation, then, Mike.
But I guess what I'm saying is like, if you're crying for some kind of effect or to be with the crowd, you're a liar, first of all. And second of all, I don't know where you got all them tears from.
Yeah, right. Just live your life, right? Like, if whatever's going on produces a tear in you, let's have at it.
I mean,
if you want to guffaw, do that.
If you saw a squirrel get run over and you feel like you're going to cry, then I'd stick your face in your shirt for a while until that passes.
Have a sneeze. Going
yeah.
You better stop that sneeze from coming.
I mean, you can go in a men's room or something until you get yourself composed. But, I mean, if you got heavy stuff going on in your life, I'd say squirt out a few. Why not?
You think about weightlifting and beef, walk away.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not crying anymore.
All right, here we go. Final one. Wrapping out the 27 characteristics of the modern man from the New York Times. As contrasted by whatever the life in the past thinks is an urban gentleman.
Yeah. Sneeze.
Number 27. People aren't sure if the modern man is a good dancer or not. That is until the DJ plays his jam and he goes out there and puts on a clinic.
Here's the deal, man. Urban gentleman does not have a jam. He digs on music. I'm not saying he doesn't. But he doesn't have like a specific, oh, that's my jam. Like that doesn't.
Carson, name one of your jams.
The Numa Numa song?
All right, Ozone.
A few bars of it.
It's in the, you know, the different language. You know the one on the
hey,
YouTube?
Hey, man, that's not a few bars of that song. My
heart. It's a radio program. You have to vocalize.
My
heart. Give me a few bars of it.
I don't sing. You know,
this is the deal. When Walk the Dinosaur comes
hey,
on.
Hey, man, I'm doing it.
You can find my feet doing a two wopsie.
Everybody walk the dinosaur.
Yeah, I think here's the deal. I think the Urban General can put on a clinic. Yeah.
CNC Music Factory.
I put it in the same category as the Melon Baller. If you're going to be involved in something, there's no reason you shy away from stuff and not produce the right deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting at the edge of the dance floor thinking, man, I want to dance, no. You get out there and dance. You shouldn't have to think about it. Just get out there and have
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, Urban Gentleman doesn't scan the scene and say, will this play?
Is it time? He goes, hey, man. Let's do this. And then hops out and dances.
He weeps a little. There then are he times gets out.
He cries a little bit, but not often.
Yeah.
And he dances to Walk the Dinosaur.
there was times too that I made a song in my gym, like when it was senior prom or whatever. I was wearing a cape and a top hat and was like, I'm going to make them play Sharp Dressed Man, and I'm going to get out there and I'm going to make this thing my own.
Hey, what Andrew Carson's ZZ Top was not talking about cape and top hat when they made that
put
song.
Put a leash on it, made it happen?
Yeah.
Now hold on, it's incredibly hard to dance to Sharp Dressed Man.
Well, I did it.
Okay. I mean, you can do nothing but the white man sway to Sharp Dressed
Man.
Yeah,
that's true. You kind of just do one of these, and that's what you got.
Yeah.
I was wearing a cape and a top hat, and I made it happen.
Hey, man, a cape?
A cape. With, like, right. Big flowing cape thing.
Hey, an urban gentleman's open to a cape.
Yeah. Tell me, what did you do while you were waiting for a Sharp Dressed Man to arrive?
Did you sit there?
I was already out on the dance floor. And then I was like,
were you dancing?
You know,
were you dancing
needs?
Or were you there?
I was dancing, and I was like, you know what this outfit needs? This outfit needs Sharp Dressed Man. So I went up to the DJ. I'm like, listen here, you got Sharp Dressed Man? I want it played next.
Hey, man. Yeah. Urban Gentleman does assert himself in a DJ situation and goes, hey, man, this song needs to go next.
Now, hold on.
However, the Urban Gentleman does not refer to his outfit as a separate person. You know what my outfit needs?
Yeah,
Sharp Dressed Man.
True, Urban Gentleman doesn't say outfit.
You know what these loafers need? Sharp Dressed Man.
Now you were a DJ, Boova.
Yeah.
Did you take kindly when people came
Absolutely
up?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I agreed with them and then laughed at them as they walked away. Hey, man, this song needs to be played next. Hey, I'm getting paid for this.
I'm a professional.
I'm 100% certain that's not what needs to be played next.
Hey, yeah, man.
I know, as a matter of fact, exactly what's going to get played next, because I already have it queued up. Yeah.
Who's
and
on
you're
this,
wrong.
Who's on this other side of the booth that I brought in?
Yeah. You notice how this table has my name on it?
That I made his homemade sign.
Regardless.
Don't knock me off my throne.
I even have a cape.
Regardless, Sharp Dressed Man played next.
He wasn't a DJ.
Hey, it worked.
He was a pansy.
All right. So, I don't know. There's your collection. You can look for our coffee table book, The 54 Ways to Be an Urban Gentleman, because we didn't come to agreement on a few.
Sneezes in the open. Or shirt sneezes.
You seriously don't sneeze in your shirt?
No, man.
Seriously, if anyone has to have the negative effects of your sneeze, it has to be you. Urban Gentleman takes it on himself not to inflict sneeze on others.
Urban Gentleman is willing to take care of the situation quickly. You're willing to take care of the situation in the long run.
You basically just decided to wipe your face on your own sleeve and then rub it against people.
You put
it
in your own chest area, weirdo. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but no one else would know that.
That's right.
You just got to deal with that. You grow
up. Yeah,
it's
not like I stick my face inside my chest and go.
That is exactly what's happened. I've heard your sneezes before.
You do
they
it
are
the
violent,
sneak.
And you do them right in your chest.
Yeah.
You go in the chest.
I just do that out in the air.
Yeah, right. You're just a rude guy. Hey, man, we see the debris.
Yeah, it'll get. Involved.
We may not see you peeing in the pool, but we see that debris.
The particular.
You got that face debris.
That's the benefit of living in a broad horizon.
Gross.
All right, you've been listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us so far tonight. If that Urban Gentleman conversation doesn't interest you at all, I'm sorry. That's just how the show goes. And so there's no reason to listen to the rest, maybe. Maybe it just isn't your program for you, and that's understandable. Maybe you're a modern man and not an urban gentleman. Hey, that's cool. Just go ahead and let the coyotes take your house. You got to live your life again.
That's what I'm saying. Buy some iron, man. You want a coyote laughing at you with his coyote buddies? Sitting out how they're talking, they're going to take your Wii.
is it more virtuous to hit a coyote with a tennis racket? I don't understand this thought process that says you can't own some.
Yeah,
iron.
You want to find a guy that don't look like an urban gentleman? Find a guy in his box, he's swinging a tennis racket at a coyote.
Get out of here.
It only makes me want to swing a tennis racket at a coyote. Could I actually do it? Could I have, like,
now, here's
hit
the
it,
deal. This has happened to me in the last year. So I had coyotes that were eating my chickens, right? And so here's what I did. I went out to my truck about, say, 5 in the morning. And I sat in the truck 2 hours before I had to go to work with no weapon, no iron. And I thought, what am I going to do? Get out and yell at him?
Get away from a chicken. You know,
he don't speak English, Mike.
So I borrowed a weapon. And I sat there the next morning for the next 2 hours caressing it. Like it, me and it were one, and we were going to tear up some coyote. Well, eventually he never showed up until another guy decided he was going to come help me, and then he shot the coyote. So I actually never, I mean, I fired one off just because I was getting bored.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
There's no way that story didn't end that way.
Plus, I wanted the coyotes to know, like, hey, Mike's here. You know, I'm going to put up with your business. But long story short, the iron got the coyotes away.
Eric, you were in the Middle East. Did you ever shoot a weapon in the air like they show on the news all the time? People get excited?
Into the air?
Yeah.
Myself? No.
Were you a part of some sort of celebration where people were firing weapons?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And the day they caught Saddam, I was there. It was awesome.
And they were celebrating shooting
weapons?
Oh,
yeah. They were glad to see that guy gone.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, those people look like they're having a good time.
Yeah,
all our weapon stories about some guy, you know, getting shot somewhere that did the wrong thing, or or shouldn't have been killed at all. Those guys are like firing weapons in the air like they're throwing a pinata.
Yeah, it was actually my first experience in a war zone hearing that. I've been in Latin America, and they'll celebrate as well when their country just won, you know, World Cup soccer or something. And so I was in Costa Rica, I heard it. I was in Venezuela. No, they didn't. Never mind. They didn't do so well. But my first time my first time in Iraq, I hear it, and I only heard the weapons fire, and so we had to take cover because I couldn't hear car horns. Okay. That's what makes the difference between celebration versus, you know, the city's erupted in chaos.
Right.
Car horns, yes. You know, everyone's honking their horns if they're celebrating.
Oh.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. That is good to know.
Yeah. If you find yourself in Syria sometime, you know, just bear that in mind that, you know, if you hear gunfire and car horns.
Celebration.
They're celebrating. Yeah.
Just gunfire
alone.
Take over.
Yeah.
Just gunfire. You're in Compton.
Yeah, that's right.
You sure should leave.
What if it's a
Compton, comma, Syria?
Could you swap out a car horn for like a vuvuzela? Is that right?
A what?
One of the soccer horns.
They don't have them over there.
They don't. Yeah. That was totally commercialized,
sorry.
Ben.
Yeah.
You fell into the American trap thinking everybody owns a vuvuzela. Yeah.
It's a white guy thing?
Why would anyone have that when they've got a gun?
Hey, man, I own it.
That's true.
I have a vuvuzela. I do not have a gun.
Yeah. Urban gentleman, weapon. Loser, vuvuzela.
Ah, crap.
And if he has a choice between one or the other and he picks up the vuvuzela.
That dude's just trying to make some noise.
He's the Michael Bolton of celebratory guys. Lame.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, all man. Right.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. Hey, big thanks to Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com for all your home buying and selling needs. Good old Bob is always out. I know he's doing the real work. We get in here and chat about business, about Shire and the weapons and the shoehorns and stuff. Bob does legitimate work, helping you find the right home for you and your family. And here's the deal. I've worked with him more than once, and he's always great at finding the right properties that we want. Always done a great job of helping me understand, you know, like what my house would be worth, how we can rightly position it and sell it well. Like sometimes, here's what I don't want. I don't want some guy telling me it's going to sell for another 10 grand and what's going to sell for. That doesn't do me any good, right? I'm going to sit on a house for 6 months. But I also want to make sure I get the right amount out of it, get what's worth. And Bob and his team have always been really great about that, helping price the house right, helping us find the right place to go next. And I don't know, just the process was dead easy. So go to Bob, go to EisenhowerTeam.com. You're looking for Bob, and he'd be able to help you out with that. And even if you're not looking to buy or sell a home, I don't know, give him a call, shoot him an email, creep outside of that free truck that they give you and just say, hey, man, thanks for sponsoring Life in the Path. He's the reason, I don't know, half of the stuff gets on the air. The other half, there's no explanation for. I think Bob would disown it as well. You're very welcome. all right, so let's see. Do I remember somebody have Pope style? Pope style? No?
I thought you brought up the Pope style. I thought you had it.
I think Herrick had a potential. Eh?
I could go, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
How much time do we have?
Time.
I'm checking. We got about 10 minutes until the break.
Okay. This has to do with our plans, okay. How we handle life and things like that.
Okay.
So, and recently in life, I've just been actually kind of overwhelmed by all kinds of different things and just facing some weird things. And so the end of my days tend to kind of fall apart, and God's actually been helping to put me back together through and my first point of Pope style is if you're facing anxiety, is try songs that are going to point you to God, songs that are just going to praise him, refocus your mind back on him. And it'll also help to fill the room that you're in because, you know, who knows what kind of other spiritual forces are there. Obviously, God exists and he's got things going on, but hey, why not fill the air, fill the room that you're surrounded with songs that are just going to praise him. And, you know, if there's other things in play, then they're going to have a really rough time hanging out there and trying to mess with your business. So, you know, fill the room, fill your house with praise music. So that's my first point of Pope style as far as it comes to anxiety. The other one has to do with the way that I handle anxiety is I love just making plans. I'm a natural problem solver. I do it to a T. I do it really well. I probably do it way too much. And I've been relying on plans, and just at the end of my day, I'll, you know, just think about what responsibilities do I have next coming up on the docket. And that's been the way that I'll tuck up a day is I'll just say, hey, what's coming up next, and make sure I've got a good solid plan for it. And really what I'm looking for is I'm looking for permission to rest. You know, I've been working all day, and I want to stop. I want to be able to say, hey, look, I know there's other things that are still out there that are still on my plate, but at some point I need to stop and rest. And so what I'd been doing is turning to my plans and asking permission from my plans for rest. And that's changing. Now I'm looking to God and saying, forget it about the plans. God, can I rest? So turning to him at the end of the day with just praises and just asking him for permission to rest. In the morning, I wake up and I ask him, hey, what's on my plate for the day? At the end of the day, I turn to him and say, God, now can I rest? I've got other things still that, you know, people are expecting from me the next day. We'll deal with them the next day.
Right.
If God says rest, I can rest. If he says, nope, you still need to tuck this thing up, then that's exactly what I do. But I just leave it in his hands instead of relying on my own plans. So that's my Pope style. Turn to God and praise him. You can actually find something like this in the Psalms where the psalmist mentions, by days I'll follow your commands, and at night I will sing your praises. So that's my Pope style.
Right on. Our own plans can be a real hard mistress. You know what I'm saying? Like they're set up by our own expectations, which may or may not be anything that God is involved in. They're unbending and they're fierce to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably a realization of how hard our own character is relative to God, who was looking for you to be taken care of, and ourselves, who are looking to accomplish something that may or may not be of the right aims.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very difficult. It's very difficult to lay those down because you own them. But the truth is that, like, the real freedom is I don't know, not owning them, right? It's like giving back to God what is God's and saying, I like that, though. I like trying to get ready for bed and saying, God, can I rest now? Now's the time.
Yeah.
And I suppose, like, you look at everything else that might be weighing on you, and God says, yeah, you're gonna rest now. You're like, well, that's all I got to do.
Yeah.
There's nothing else in the world going on except to rest here. Which, I suppose... that conversation is one that generally tends to come up when we simply refuse to acknowledge a Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
a rest. God builds something into us. And we're like, no, don't you understand? God, I'm too busy. I'm doing this thing for you. Or I have all these responsibilities. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. And he says, yeah. I told you to rest.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal? what seems to be the thing that you're doing? That's great. You're disobeying me to obey me? That's cute. I told you to rest. And I still fight that. And then when I can look out and see when my life is most wonky, I'm like, I don't understand. I feel like I'm trying to do the things I'm supposed to do. And God just in the corner and said, hey, I'm offering you rest. It's beautiful, right, when you look back on how God even talks about kind of being in relationship with him. You will be invited into my
rest.
Into my rest.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that if I'm being flat out honest, as we suck at that.
Yeah.
We want to show God, like, I don't think we intend to do this, but, like, it's a demonstration to God how much we love him. Look at all the things that we're doing. And he's saying, you're doing everything except for the one thing I told you to do, which is I want you to rest. And the thing is that that's just a symptom of disorientation,
mm-hmm.
right? Where we're just focusing on the wrong thing, or we're trying to push the ends mm-hmm. with our own means. Always the same basic problem.
You know, it's funny, like, because everyone's had this experience in their life at some point where they've gotten involved in something and were like, this is too much for me. I don't understand what's going on. I'm frustrated right now because I don't understand how to handle this situation. And, like, you've had someone come along, be it your parent or even your boss at work, and, like, you take it to the right place and the person above you says, I'll handle this for you. I got it. You know, like, you had a project at work and you're like, it was going really well, and then it kind of started growing 15 arms, and this is out of my control, you know. And you tell your boss about it, and your boss goes, you know what, this is right up my alley. I got it. I've seen this before. Or, like, especially when you're newly married or a new parent, you know, like, stuff comes up with your kids and you're sick, and, like, I don't know what to do. And you call your mom or your dad, and probably your mom, to be honest with me. And your mom's like, yeah, it's fine. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what you do. Put some Vapor Rub on their feet or something. You're like, I don't know about that. That don't sound right. That's totally legit. It works, right? And so, like, it's that feeling of I'm holding this. This seems bigger than me. I'm not sure what to do. And someone in authority comes around and says, yeah, I've been there before. I got it. I got it. Not just I'm going to tell you how to do it. It's I got it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take this thing. I'm going to give you a solution, or I'm just going to handle it. Dan, I have no idea how to do my taxes. First time I had to do taxes. I'll be over tomorrow. Let's straighten it up. Yeah. I'll come over and do it with you, right? And, like, for some reason, we do fight that, like, trying to give that exact same principle, which you've experienced with people, to the king. When the king says, look, I'm not kidding you. I've got this. I've done this before. I've been here. I know what you can carry. I know what you can't. You know what it feels like to let something go. Just let me have it. Let me have it. I do it. And so, like, it's one of those seesaws where I have a real hard time because I know what that feels like to find a trusted son and let them take something from me. But the king who says, yeah, that's in my kingdom. I got it. I go, I don't know if you really mean that.
Yeah.
And he does mean it.
Yeah. Hey, you've been listening to Life from the Path. If you're hanging out on the Truth Network, 99.3 FM, we do have to let you go. You can find more of the show at livefromthepath.org. Or if you have feedback for us, if it's good, positive things, things that make us feel good and jolly about what we're doing, send us an email, info@livefromthepath.org. If you hate the show, that's really understandable, but you're going to have to talk to the station manager about that. He really makes a choice of who. We're going to produce the show one way or the other, right? Yeah. Whether it's on the dial or not is really someone else's call. I think that's Chris Roloff. You can contact him with Truth Network. I'm sure he'd love to hear about that. It's okay to be honest about that thing if it's whether or not your cup of tea. Urban Gentleman drinks coffee. It's all right, we're going to let you go. If you're on the podcast, we're going to be right back with you. If nothing else, please be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Life on the Path. You've been listening Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. Yeah, it's good to have you back on the podcast. Here's the deal. I'm not kidding. You got to let that stuff go.
Yeah. That's difficult. Here's the deal.
Can you imagine the king rolling by your house and be going, I'm ready. I'm here to pick up the stuff. No.
No, I'm going to hold on to this.
No. Not for you.
I'll tell you from personal experience, though, what is awkward about this earthly existence is the times of which the things that my soul cries out for, my physical body says, I feel like you're wrong about this. Like, I'm going to keep this for a while. I'm going to keep this thing that you're anxious about. I'm going to keep this thing that you're nervous about. Even if, like, I'm thinking in my mind, hey, this is not a problem. The God's got this under control. I don't have to worry about this anymore. And then my body's like, hey, yeah, but get amped up, though. Get amped up and jazzed about it. Don't you think it's going to happen? Don't you know it's going to happen? I'm like, no, I think God's got it under control. It's like, well, maybe you do, but don't you think you better get jazzed up? And, like, it's extremely difficult sometimes for the things that I know and that I deep down believe to see your own body kind of betray you in that way, or your own mind. And I talked about this, gave an example of this yesterday during the sermon. But, like, there's just times when there's something in my head, and I'm like, who does that belong to? That is not mine. And the truth is, it is kind of mine. Like, it's in there, but, like, I don't want it in there, and I don't believe it, and I wish it wasn't. And so it's the interaction of kind of your soul and your physical presence, of which there's it's one of the beautiful things that I think occurs kind of at the end of all things, right? When all everything is restored back to what God created to be, and it will be glorious where man and creation are back in good order. And the relationship between man and God is restored, but even the relationship between man and himself, right? This thought process where my body doesn't cooperate with my soul, or I get things that pop into my mind that I feel like don't belong to me, but I still have to deal with. Like, that thing exists in my mind, I think, for the same reason all other there's disorder anywhere. It's all a consequence of kind of this fall from what God has created to be, and that when everything comes and is restored to what God created to be, I feel like this dissonance that is between the soul and the mind and the soul and the body will be gone, and you'll actually be able to live in the body that God gave you in complete harmony and peace. And it's not fighting you for attention. It's not fighting you for the things that are important. Like, the soul that God has given you dictates the new body that he's also provided. And just it's peace throughout your whole self. And I have no idea what that feels like for that to be the way that you live all the time. But man, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Things to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah. What do you got, Mike? You got some Dear Life from the Path?
I do. Man, they're sneaky. Uh-oh. There's some sneaky stuff going on. Here we go, Dear Life from the Path. My ex-husband and I have been back together for 8 months. Congratulations. We were divorced for 2 years, during which time he remarried. Oh. Congratulations, withdrawn. We stayed
Wait,
in...
Wait, what? Sorry, no, sorry. I'll listen to the rest. My bad.
We stayed in contact during his second marriage, and he says he still loves me, so he left her. He's now back with me after living on his own for a few months. I'm frustrated because he won't commit to me again. He says he has forgiven me for what broke up our marriage, but he will never consider remarrying me. He says he has lost faith in all women. He says one marriage to me was enough and that he's confused. He told me it's fine with him if I put my rings back on. He introduces me as his wife when we're out together, but won't divorce his second wife. I know I'm coming on too strong and pressuring him to be the man he used to be. I just don't think it's right that he should get all the benefits of having his wife and children back with none of the commitment. Should I back off and give him time to heal, or am I trapping myself in a hopeless relationship that's going to leave me a divorcee?
Ding,
hopeless
ding, ding.
In Missouri.
Yeah, you're already a divorcee.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're just going to be that still.
Hey, man, I don't know that I would work real hard on getting this man back to the man he used to be, because he was always a schmuck. Yeah. By what you've described, he married you, divorced you, married another woman while cheating on that woman with you, divorced her, lived on his own, and now wants all the accolades for being a husband and father, but none of the responsibility.
He never divorced his second wife.
Yeah, he's... Oh,
he's
yeah,
still with the second wife.
He's still married to the second wife. I like to refer to a man like this as a boil or skin irritation.
Yeah, he's a stool. There's no reason to continue with this.
Just leave him.
Anybody want to defend a man? Andrew?
I have no opinion on this matter.
That's ridiculous. Here's the deal. You do not need the experience of having married a woman, divorced a woman, cheated on a woman, refused to divorce a woman, and got in the sheets with another woman to be able to speak to this circumstance. He's a stool.
I refuse to have an opinion on this. It's not my business. I don't need to know about it. Good day.
Somebody needs to talk to Andrew about the concept of the radio program. We're going to have to get back to that at a different time. Stool, leave him be. Yep. Do not try to rekindle a fire that is made primarily by burning crapola. Right?
The man lacks integrity, and without that, there's no foundation for a relationship. There is no marriage, and that's what you're seeking. So get away from this guy. The lacking integrity I'm going to define very simply as this. What he pictures on the box is not what's inside. Yeah. And what he's trying to present to the world as, you know, hey, this is my wife. If he really believed that, he would make sure that that's a committed thing. He would make sure that all the legal paperwork is in order. He would make sure that you are his wife in every sense of the word. But that's right. Not the case.
He's a doofus. The benefits of having a wife is having a wife.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like being with her, loving her, hanging out with her, having someone to be... to have conversations with and be intimate with and like share a life together. He's not getting all the benefits of having a wife. He's basically trying to steal the appearance of having a wife and probably enjoying benefits, I would guess, with someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, no good. He's gone completely.
He's a stool.
Here we go. Secular says, I think we both know the answer to that. Your ex has stated clearly that he will never consider remarrying you. Under these circumstances, your wedding ring should remain in the drawer or sell them. While he may introduce you as his wife, you are not his wife. His wife is his wife, which entitles her to all the rights and privileges of her status as a spouse according to the laws of Missouri. Be prepared to give your ex plenty of time to heal while living on his own. If he is confused, insist that he work through his issues with a therapist or a good male friend who is willing to punch him in the face.
Yep.
Allowing him to stay with you while married to someone else was a mistake. You should have thought about how the arrangement might affect your children before you agreed to it. Yeah, I agree. Agreed. I'm not a big fan of that man.
No.
Here we go. We've got two more here. Dear Life from the Path, my mother comes from a large family. While most of the time everyone was kind and fairly respectful, there have been several occasions when gossiping family members have said hurtful things.
What?
Most recently, a comment was made about my 29-year-old brother. He is unmarried and isn't dating anyone. He works two jobs and also participates in fishing tournaments. Someone commented that he must be gay because he, quotes, has guys sleep over at his house, and, quotes, doesn't have a girlfriend. For the record, my brother is not gay. His fishing teammates sleep over because they leave at 3 a.m. for their tournaments. This really annoyed my mom and me. It's no one's business how he chooses to live his life, straight or gay. While we try to distance ourselves from their comments, staying quiet about them is becoming more and more difficult. What can we say without sinking to their level?
Hey, man, here's the situation. A while back, I had a dude live in my house, all right?
Yeah.
He was staying there. Had a job. So did I. I did not have a girlfriend. Neither did he. My family insinuated the same thing. They asked if I was gay.
Yeah.
When explaining, hey, I have a dude that I am kind of helping out and let him stay at my house, that immediately turned into, wait, you're gay? No. That is not the situation. So sometimes families just do that. But here's what you need to do. If you feel so inclined, you need to have a conversation with them saying, hey, shut up. It's not your life. It's not your person. Walk away from the situation. Stop talking about it behind their back. You're a joke of a person. Stop gossiping.
I think this is actually the situation where the urban gentleman whoops out the iron.
Mike says the urban gentleman walks in, gun in hand,
and goes,
you want to talk about
it? Shut your face about my 29-year-old brother. He's in fishing tournaments.
Yeah, I've had just about enough of this. So take your shot, Kimosabe.
I'm here to answer questions.
I'm here to fix this.
Press release. Show your face. No comment.
It's weird. It's weird to me. Like the people that propose to be the most accepting about social circumstances are also the weirdest people about like assuming things about people's relationships.
They have
right?
sleepovers. He's obviously gay.
I mean, do you jump to the same thing? Like if they, hey man. He's got a fast car. I wonder if he's a getaway driver for a robber.
Hey, man, he could take a turn a little bit faster than me.
Yeah, I bought steak.
He's definitely a drifter.
He's probably a murderer. I mean, you don't see everyone else. I mean, it's like they want the opportunity to accuse someone of being gay.
But primarily, I suppose, because they feel like they have the burden of demonstrating that they should accept it.
That's right. They want to show everyone how accepting they are, so they create a situation that needs acceptance and then just hands it out.
Hey, man, are you by chance gay? Because I love gay people.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just helping out a friend? I'm disappointed.
Yeah, that's too
bad. I'm disappointed.
Then you're a loser.
Really wish I could have loved on you.
Yeah, if you were gay, they would have been totally cool with that. But you helping out a buddy? Loser? That's terrible.
Yeah.
Secular's advice. Ready?
Yeah.
How about being direct? My brother/son is not gay. Please stop spreading rumors about him that aren't true because it's really annoying.
I actually agree with that.
That seems
yeah,
fine.
Seems about exactly what you need to do.
I mean, I don't see any reason not to answer it.
Yeah, he's not gay. Shut up.
Here's what you do. They say, we think your brother's a gay. And then you say,
I think that was Mike
was that pumping
pantomiming
a shotgun?
Him pumping a shotgun.
Skin that smoke wagon. Here we go. Last one. Dear Life from the Path, I'm a 16-year-old girl who doesn't believe in God. Frankly, I feel uncomfortable when religion is brought up. All my friends are firm believers of Christianity and attend Bible study or help out with other things at their church. My parents and brothers don't believe in God. When I say I'd like to be a Christian, my brothers make fun of me. When they do, it makes me feel ashamed of myself. I want to be a Christian because it would be nice to feel like I belong, and most Christians aren't accepting of atheists, especially other girls my age. They might be polite, but they're distant. It also doesn't help that the boy I like comes from a religious family. What should I do?
I don't mean to laugh. I'm just trying to think of the circumstance. The first thing that popped in my mind was, you should follow Jesus. And yeah. I don't know that I have a lot more commentary to such a thing. Like, I mean, you seem to be getting into it for the wrong... Here's the deal. I want to say, I feel like I have a responsibility to say you're getting into it for the wrong reasons. But
right.
But here's the thing is, I feel like God creates the sense and desire for community in people. I don't think the desire is wrong. If that's all you're looking for, I can think of easier social clubs to get involved with. And hey, you know what makes it awkward is the guy I want to go out with loves Jesus, and I'm a little concerned to be a Christian. Again, maybe perhaps for the wrong reasons we're talking about some of this stuff. But, I mean, really the answer is, I suppose, just to follow Jesus.
Yeah, that's a fair answer. I was kind of mulling around the same thing. I'm just like, well... You know, it sounds like you're kind of trying to get into this for the wrong situation. Like you're kind of just being go with the flow. But I'm thinking to myself, like, hey man, Jesus can definitely work with a go with the flow kind of person. And then, hey, I'm Jesus, and then work through that.
Here's the deal. What you're basically explaining is someone saying, "Hey, I've been offered a job that makes $150,000 a year. I'm not really that interested in the money. They have a plant that I like in the office. Is that a good reason to take the job? Yeah, it is."
Yeah, you're about to get a $150,000 job.
You're going to get $150,000. and you like the plant that is
enjoy
there.
The ficus.
Does anybody really care how you obtain this job? Just get in. Get in and get to know the job. And then when you decide you don't like it later, then you leave. But you can at least get to know the job first and then see if you like to stay. Who cares if the fern is what got you the job?
If you're attracted to it by the community?
I don't give two craps.
Mike's attractional model of bringing people to Jesus.
Yeah. We need more donuts.
Something smells weird.
We need more juice. And we need to tell people they're okay. Doesn't matter what they've done. We love that. I should start a church model of attractional style worship.
That sounds like the worst decision that's come out of this show ever.
Me? I was built for this.
I was made for this. I was made for this.
If it doesn't work, I'll break out the iron. Here's it all. I gave you guys
skin
the chance
smoke wagon
to do this on your own, and you chose the wrong way.
This is what straighten out Laodicea. It's one of those strange things out here.
Talk to my Guns. Friend, 12 gauge. No, seriously, 12 gauge? Get up here.
12 gauge.
Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
Secular's answer. I think you should continue being true to the person you really are.
Secular.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Now, hold on. I hear people say this crap all the time. I'm going to be true to myself. Listen, if you were true to yourself, you wouldn't have to tell the people you were true to yourself. Because it would be obvious that you were being true to yourself.
No. Yeah. Here's the thing. You're in one of two situations when you say stuff like that. Either you have been true to yourself, and you suck.
Yeah. Maybe yourself sucks.
And you're trying to give some kind of justification to why you suck. Or you said, I need to be true to myself, and you haven't been true to yourself, which makes you very untrustworthy with this proclamation that you've made.
Yeah.
What you're saying is I'm separating myself from the person I have been. But you are the person you have been.
It's like the phrase, I'm a do me. That's something that people my age have said recently. I'm a do me, which means I'm going to do my, like, I'm going to do me.
I'm going to be me.
I'm going to be me. Everyone who's ever said that to me, I'm like, hey, man, but you suck. Like, the I'm a do me situation, the me you have represented so far has ruined you. Maybe you need to walk away from the me you keep talking about.
Yeah. You're not delusional. You have to be to get up, look in the mirror, and go, heck yeah. Look at this man. Look at all the time and effort I've put in this man. I love him.
This is fine.
No one thinks that.
I've done that.
He's been well, you have 200 selfies of yourself.
Let's be blatantly honest with ourselves. Like, I struggle with self-confidence, so I kind of do the whole step in front of the mirror and go, yes.
Yeah.
You.
Yes.
Excited to be you today? Yes, you are.
God created a firm block of granite, and I have chiseled it down into
an
iron.
Hey there, Adonis. Hey, good to see you this morning.
I'm going to take the morning toilet, but I'll be right back. There you are.
Hey, man.
Let's brush our teeth.
Yeah. Hey, I missed you for a couple minutes. Good to see you again. Sorry, boss man, I was late to work today. Got caught in my own eyes.
There was a handsome incident at my house.
There was a really attractive man stuck in my mirror. 10 minutes later, I realized it was me.
He went looking for me when I went looking for him.
Secular says, I think you should continue being true to the person you really are. Let me point out that if you're feeling isolated now, consider what a fraud you will feel like if you join a religion and must pray to a deity you don't believe in order to fit in. While many churches promote church-related youth activities, you should explore what non-sectarian activities are available in your community. If the boy you like cares about you, he will like you even if you aren't religious, and you will have your self-respect. It's not easy feeling different, but sometimes it's worth it. You know, here's the deal. Some of that's true, but sometimes you're different because you're freaking wrong. Yeah. You've done the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
You know what I'm saying? If there's a line that says free lunch and you're paying for lunch, you're different because you're an idiot.
Enjoy your individualism.
You're eating paid lunch when free is available. So, I'm not trying to say that you should whittle your individuality down, you know, to be like everybody else. But sometimes the masses are right, man.
Yeah.
When everyone says, hey, here's the thing. It's great. Go do this. And you're like, no, man, I don't want to be part of the community. You're an idiot. Stuff is free. Or people are having a good time. Or there's people to get along with there. Or there's people that want to love you there. And you're like, no, you're not going to trap me in this trap. You're an idiot.
Yeah. So people always say, I don't want to be part of the crowd when it has to do with responsibility. But no one has faced with a pending siren and the opportunity to go into the bomb shelter, and they're like, I just don't want to be part of the crowd. I'm going to hang out and see the bomb drops.
Free ice cream? Not me.
Five-alarm fire at my house. Everyone else calls the fire department. I just don't want to fit into that mold, man. I'm just going to let it burn.
Yeah. I'm going to
be different.
I'm going to be me.
Yeah.
You're disease. That's the thing. I think God creates very unique people that do unique things, and I'm amazed at what some people can do that I cannot. And I think that it's something to be celebrated because it points back to the cool things that God does. That's not you, Booba. We're not talking about you.
Selfie.
Are you talking about that guy that plays Sweet Child of Mine with two guitars at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah,
hey, man, that's pretty sweet.
That's the guy I'm talking about.
He's awesome.
Yeah. That guy's unique, and he said, you know what? Some guys play one guitar, and they do it mediocre. I'm going to play two, and I'm going to rock them both. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in with that fella. Right? But yeah, there are some people who say, hey, man, I'm just me, and I'm a unique individual. But really, you're kind of a drag on everyone else around you. And, like, you, because you wear that spike helmet, or, like, you light things on fire and laugh. Like, that's not unique. That's just crazy. There's something
that's
wrong
just
with
teenage
you.
Angst.
Yeah. Hey, I'm pretty unique. Elf legal. It's not unique, all right? You're being ridiculous. Sometimes the normal things that people do, like not setting other people on fire, that's okay.
Yeah, Mike Tyson's a perfect example. Like,
Mike Tyson's a perfect
example. I'm going to get a face tattoo because no one else has it.
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
And I bit a man. Yeah, okay.
Have you ever bit a man's ears off? I have.
I bucked the system. I don't submit to the man. Yeah, I usually bit that guy.
You could have worn, like, striped shorts or something. You know? I mean, anything is possible, but you went with bite a guy. Solid.
You're not going to put me in a box and, you know, give me the Betty Crockers and all this business and run me through your school system. I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Is that it?
That's how we got it.
That was the, unless you want another one. I got one more if you want.
Yeah, fire up one more.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path.
He doesn't have another one.
We are not sure what to do about a nosy neighbor I'll call Myrtle. She's nice to talk to, but quite honestly, I suspect she must be watching us with binoculars because she told me what brand of wine we drink.
When that's my husband's, terrifying.
She might just go through your garbage. You're overstepping bounds.
Might just go through your garbage?
Is this the movie show? I'm reading the story.
Just read the story.
When my husband sends me for flowers, she calls me to find out why. If we have a party, she calls to find out what it's about. A few years ago, I was talking to Myrtle in front of her house and mentioned that I usually walk my dog in the morning. She responded, oh, I know when you walk your dog. Is that creepy or is it mean? Life on the Path, we have nothing to hide, but our life is none of her business. I've been neighborly to her, but it seems like she wants too much information about us and has no problem telling us all her business and how much she spends. She's single and friendly with all the neighbors, as are we. I haven't asked if they experienced the same thing or if we're the lucky ones. How should this be handled?
You should move.
Right.
Here's the deal. You own a property in a street with other people that own property.
Yep.
She lives there, has windows in her house, and she happens to be up and interested. So here's the thing. You want to avoid people having a rough idea what's going on in your business, you're going to have to move. But, like, part of the thing that comes with it, living around folk is that you might be around a peeper. And it's just life.
Or she's an ex-CIA agent who just can't shake old habits. I'm going to go with that one.
Well, obviously she's bad at it. Everyone knows that she's spying on him.
That's true. She's not very smooth. Maybe that's why she got kicked out of the CIA.
Yeah, indeed.
Touché.
Yeah, I think you got to move.
Yeah, either you got to live around a bunch of peeping eyes or you get yourself a lead catapult and some coyotes. These are your options.
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to do, all right? Okay, so it's a valid situation where you should move. Like, you're just going to have to deal with that. But what I want you to do is I want you to start doing weirder things. Like, I really want you to find yourself doing weird stuff. So Myrtle starts getting confused and starts coming up to you with, like, a really judgmental stare rather than a...
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I noticed that... I don't really know how to say this. I noticed that you and John were making peanut butter helmets the other day.
Yeah.
I was very... Very confused by the situation.
You taped a pizza box on your back and ran around nude. You called yourself a bufferfly.
Myrtle is eventually going to stop watching you. Like, it's no longer like, oh, sweetheart, why'd you get the flowers? And, oh, I saw you were having a party. It's like, oh, I noticed that you had a troop of little people in your home today. They were all dressed in clown suits. It's very confusing. They kept running around in circles. I noticed you've got a gnome army.
You could also start bringing stuff over to her place and ask her to hold it for you. Right. Bring a fish.
Here's what you do. Every week you bring a new garden gnome to that woman. Every single week you bring a new garden gnome and you ask her affectionately to keep them in her front yard until you amass some weird army. So you are no longer the reason she needs to look around because everyone's going to be staring at her for her creepy gnome army.
Or like a giant, you know, salmon that has a dog collar that says William on it. And you're like, hey, can you hold...
Keep it on this.
Don't throw it. He doesn't like the freezer. Just, I'll be back in a few days.
Hey, you can weird Myrtle out. Yeah,
he's shy. Don't roast him.
And don't look. He's got a funky eye. Don't look at him in that
one
eye.
I do the same thing with my garbage bag. Hey, can you watch these? I'll be back later for him.
Yeah.
Don't move. Make her move.
All right. Next time, before your wife goes out of town for whatever reason, Pretend to get in a fight with your wife and then go dig in the garden. Yes. You know Myrtle's watching.
Myrtle is totally watching. And when the police show up, say, oh, I was just digging my garden.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Just because I was standing in this grave doing handstands.
Susan's out of town.
Yeah, right. Just make her gun shy is what you're saying.
Yeah.
She just has to be wrong and maybe she'll cut back or she becomes more interested.
But she then she like, has a reason to be interested.
Yeah, I didn't know you had a pet fish, William. Me too.
Me too. Hey, man, I shine a really bright light out my window all the time. Like a foghorn light from a lighthouse.
Why don't you call and say, hey, why do you got this big light? Myrtle, because I think you're peeping at us.
You'll say, you say I can't hear you. The light's on. Just hang up the phone.
Just change your front window to a mirror so she just keeps looking at herself.
Here we go.
Binoculars looking at herself.
Good. Secular says, continue to be polite to your neighbor, but when she asks questions you would rather not answer, instead of answering her directly, respond with another question. Myrtle, why do you ask? If she presses for an answer without being confrontational, say, it's personal, and change the subject. Be sure to keep your shades drawn on the windows that face her house, and when you walk your dog, take a different route.
Whatever, are you going to run from Myrtle with your dog?
That's right, yeah. You're going to live your whole life in some kind of alternative timescape just because Myrtle's a peeper?
And hey, man, it would definitely give you something to do on a daily basis, though.
You still have to go out your front door. I feel like she's going to catch you. Hey, I see you went east today.
Hey, man, it really spices up suburbia, though, a little bit. Like if you're avoiding a peeper.
Yeah, you kind of go out your door and do a little shimmy.
Right, exactly. You're no longer just like the mundane Monday through Friday. Like, you got to figure out some weird ways to do things. You're going to start tunneling out of your house so Myrtle doesn't
She's
see
like
you.
Like a Goomba or whatever.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Instead
your
of
life
the game.
Has become Super Mario. You can set up a game and then compare points with your spouse at the end of the day.
How many times did Myrtle see you last week? 16. Win.
All right. Give a listen to Life in the Path. Hey, big thanks for hanging out with us on the podcast tonight. I hope you are you're changing your ways and becoming the urban gentleman that we all know you can be.
Sneeze.
And if you have a Myrtle in your life, you obviously need to love and affection. Give her a punch in the nose.
Give her something to look at.
This is going to be help. Don't give her. See, here, this goes back to feed your ego that you have something to give.
No.
You think, know what she wants to see.
Hey, I'm not saying I'm going to walk out in the nude and just be like, hey, Myrtle.
I got a present for you.
I'm a tall drink of manliness. I see you're thirsty. Like, no, I'm not saying that situation.
You ever seen the dance move, the Moova Booba? Also called the Buffer Fly.
Don't make me do the Moova Booba for the Myrtle Booba. All right, whatever mistakes you made in life, this was one of them. Thanks for hanging out with us on Life Path. Be faithful to me. God will handle the ends. Have a good week. 1,000 faces pass you by, looking down.